Arid b'sichi v'yahima v'kal nehi arima. Next is 26, Chafav. Again, we're back to Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, and as is often the case, he bases his kina on a medrash. And the medrash tells us that when Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who personally experienced the Chorban Yerushalayim and the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, as the destruction was imminent and as the Babylonians were moving in, he went to Chevron, he went to the kever of the Avos, of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. He demanded that they save Am Yisrael, that they pray to Hashem, that they invoke the Zechus of the Avos to save Am Yisrael. And the Medrash tells us very beautifully, very graphically, it's one of the most beautiful Midrashim in Eicha, that Avram Avinu goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you must save Am Yisrael in the merit of the Akedah. I was willing, as it were, to give up my only child, because Yitzchak is considered to be the Iker child of Avram. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, not good enough. And Yitzchak also has the zechus of the Akedah. I'm willing to sacrifice my life. And Yaakov Avinu talks about the Shiftei Ka, the holy tribes that he raised, and that he suffered, and he worked so hard in Lavan's house to bring his family back to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as well, talks about what he did for Am Yisrael. And the Medrash goes through Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu. And none of these zechuyos are enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not enough. But the Medrash then ends with the story of Rachel Imenu. That Rachel Imenu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says that for 7 years my husband worked to be able to marry me. We waited and we pined and we yearned. And then Lavan switched. And Lavan, the Medrash tells us that Rachel and Yaakov, or at least Rachel, suspected that her father would try to make a switch in the darkness. So she and Yaakov developed special hand signals or special simanim in which Yaakov would know that this is Rachel or not Rachel. But in the last moment, Rachel gave those simanim to Leah so that Leah should not be humiliated or rejected on the night of her wedding. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, in the merit of Rachel, I will bring a redemption to the Jewish people. And this is what the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah. And the Pasuk is prominent, of course, at Kever Rachel. Kail barama nishma, there is a voice from heaven, b'chi u'b'chi umari tamrurim, a bitter cry, Rachel mavachal banah, Rachel is crying for her children. And Hashem says, meni kolech mibechi, stop crying. Yesh sachar lepulaseich, there will be a reward for your efforts. V'shavu banim ligvulam, your children shall come back. And this is what we say, that although collectively Am Yisrael needs the zchus of all of the Avos, of course, every single day, three times a day, Zocher Chasdei Avos, Hashem remembers the loving kindness that He showed to the Avos and the bris of the Avos. But there's a special kayach in Rachel Imenu to bring a Yeshua for Am Yisrael. This is based on the Medrash that Rav Elazar HaKalir is addressing here. And the question becomes, what is so great about Rachel's accomplishment? Avraham Avinu was willing to sacrifice his only son. Yitzchak was willing to die. Yaakov struggled in a place of Avodah Zarah for so many years to serve Hashem with faithfulness and raised a family of the Shiftei Ka. Rachel gave her simanim to Leah. What exactly is, I mean, it's a great thing, but why does that outweigh Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and even Moshe Rabbeinu? And you see from here a very, very important lesson, that Rachel represents the epitome of caring about another person, of willing to give up something that is so precious to you, not to cause another person shame or embarrassment. It is the level of what is called avas chinam, an unjustified, undeserved love. But it was the love that she had that ultimately brings a redemption for Klal Yisrael. And this is because it's a mida keneged mida. Because if we ask Hashem, save us, redeem us, because we have merits, Hashem's response might be, well, maybe you have merits, but you have plenty of demerits. And once we start making cheshbainos, do you have good things on your side? Yeah, we do. But we also have bad things on our side. But Rachel is not coming and saying, I did a good thing. Rachel is saying, I helped someone that was not deserving of it. Leah should not have been there. This was a deception. And yet, I was mavater. I gave up that which was precious to me, to show love and concern even to someone who did not deserve it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe we don't deserve it, but act the same way. And that is Rachel. Rachel's zechus is not simply she did a good thing, but rather she had an avas chinam. And therefore we come to Hashem and say, give us an avas chinam, even if we don't deserve it. But be it as it may, this piyut describes very movingly Yirmiyahu beseeching the avos to turn to Hashem and pray for Am Yisrael. Az b'halach Yirmiyahu al kivrei avos. Again, in the very last stanza of the piyut, there's a very important phrase that one should be aimed on. Hashem says, "Shuvu tamimim lemnuchaschem, return, perfect ones, to your eternal rest," meaning the avos can go back and rest. Malei amalei kol mishaloseichem, I will fulfill all of your requests. Shulachti bavela lemanchem, I was sent to Bavel for your sake. This is a reference to the famous Maimer Chazal, Shulachti. It's not just Hashem sent us to Bavel, which was the first Chorban or Edom, but Shulachti. Hashem was sent into Golus. The Shekhinah is in Golus with us. The Shekhinah is with us, and therefore, even in our Golus, Hashem is there to sustain us. So this is the idea of Shekhinta b'Galusa, and that's a reference of Imai Anoichi b'Tzara. Hashem is with the Jewish people in all of their tzaras. They tell the story about a Yid in the Holocaust, was knocked down by a Nazi, Yimach Shemo, and was kicked in the head. And the Nazi mockingly said to the Jew, "Where is your God now?" And the Jew said, "He is with me in the ground, being kicked in the head," so to speak. Hashem suffers with Am Yisrael in all that we go through. The next one is Chafzayin, it's just the immediately following one. And this is also based on a very unusual medrash, that when the Chorban occurred and Yirmiyahu is wandering, it says he meets a very beautiful woman who is at the same time Minuvelis. Now this seems to be a contradictory description. Beautiful, but Minuvelis actually means repulsive. So presumably you're talking about someone dressed in rags, someone that is disheveled, someone that is dirty. And he doesn't know who this woman is, and he's not sure, is this a demon, or a person, or a ghost, or an apparition? And he asks the woman, "Who are you? You look someone like an angel, someone like a person, someone like a demon." And the woman responds, "I belong to one, and I belong to three, and I belong to 60, and to 12, and to 71. I have a very distinguished lineage." And the Medrash tells us, this beautiful woman was a physical personification of the spiritual essence of Klal Yisrael, that in Shir HaShirim and elsewhere is described as a beautiful woman, the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. And the reference to the numbers is, I am from one, meaning I come from Avraham Avinu, the unique one who brought godliness into the world. And I come from three, of course, is that my whole heritage is from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And I come from 12, those are the Shvatim. And I come from 60, those are the 60 myriads. A myriad is 10,000. Those are the 600,000 Jews that left Mitzrayim. And 71 is the Sanhedrin that gave me leadership. And Yirmiyahu then says, you have such a good yichus, such a yichus from one, from three, from 60, from 71. Do tshuva, and then you will have simcha. And the woman basically says to the Navi, please, please, plead to your God, plead to Hashem that he should bring us a Yeshua and a Geula. And Yirmiyahu ends, and it says, I'll read the last stanza, then we'll read the whole thing. Pilel techino lifnei kono. He prayed to his creator. Mole rachamim, God who is filled with mercy. Rachem ka'av al bano, have the mercy of a father on a child. Tzok, and he cried out. Now, it's interesting. This is Hashem crying out. Ma li'av shehigle bano, alas, to the father that exiles his child. Meaning Hashem's sar is greater than ours. The gam oy la ben shal shulchan av eino, and alas to the son who is no longer with the father. And therefore, im ki adam avru bris, if like a human being we have violated Hashem's covenant, but can you not remember the merits of those that you made a covenant with? It's interesting that one of the great greats, Gedolim and Tzaddikim, who perished in World War II, was the Piazitzner Rebbe. Piazitzner Rebbe was the last Hasidish Rebbe in the Warsaw Ghetto. He wrote the Yesh Kodesh, the Chovas HaTalmidim. Many of you might be familiar with his works. They're very, very extremely emotional and extremely ma'orer, the Lev. And in fact, what is so amazing is he wrote much of this during the Holocaust itself. In fact, in one of his Mamorim, he writes that bombs are bursting all around him, and he's trying to concentrate. And it is said that he made a Suda Shalishis for children every Shabbos, Mincha, every Shabbos afternoon in the Warsaw Ghetto. And the few children that survived, most of them are not alive today, they say it was like he created an Olam Haba in the middle of the Holocaust. It was somehow another world. It was a different reality. It somehow took them away from all that was going on into a world of light and a world of Kedusha, a world of joy, that for those 2 hours there was no Holocaust, there was no Churban, there was no Warsaw Ghetto. But in the Eish Kodesh, which are reflections about the Churban of Am Yisrael, the Piazitzner says a very striking, startling insight. We know, by and large, that the tzoros that happened to Am Yisrael are a result of our averus, a result of our imperfections. But the Piazitzner gave an extra dimension to this. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain, when he confronts a world of desecration and chilul, is infinite. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets us feel a glimpse of his pain by having us experience it. And he says that is actually a sign of divine closeness. Hashem is mishatef us in the tsar of the Shekhinah. And he gives an example. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, he gives a human example. Rachmana Litzlan, A woman loses her husband, the father of her children. On one level, the woman is crushed. She's devastated. But she has a family. She can't fall apart. So when she cries privately. Because her world must go on. And so too, most of the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grieves privately. Because there's a world here. But there are times in which the mother opens the bedroom door so the children can share the grief with the mother. And that creates a certain bond and a certain closeness. The Piyas Esner, this is a truly startling insight. The Piyas Esner says, there are times when Hashem lifts the veil that separates us so we participate in the tsar of the gullus of the Shekhinah. And those are moments of potentially great, great closeness as well. And therefore, just as oy la ben, alas for the ben, it is alas for the av, and I want the ben to feel what the av feels. And then we're together. We're sharing that tsar. And that brings us together. And this is why the Gemara tells us for the Churban Bayis Rishain, right? When you had the Aron HaKodesh, you had the cherubs, the Kruvim. And the Kruvim were supposed to face each other, and it says that even though nobody can go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim except for the Kohen Gadol, but it says that during the Regalim, they would open the Parochas, and people could look in straight, and they could see the Aron HaKodesh. And if Yisrael were Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, the Kruvim were facing each other in an embrace. And if they were not Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, they were turning apart. But it mentions at the time of the Churban of the Bayis Rishain, the Kruvim were embracing. At that very moment, Hashem's love was greatest for us. And this is the idea that when the Banim can share the pain of the Av, there is actually a stronger connection with them. So we'll read Chafzayin inside. Az bimlay sefek yavek etzer tzahein arelem tzaku chlutza ven chilkim yarmen ki yadza isha yifastayu minu veles matzah. Shrani yolayich b'shem alhim v'yadam im sheilish dinimadu l'bnei adam t'mus yavyech v'asar v'dam pach. Sameich v'sayei t'rachem tziyain kiva mayet. We've been talking about the Churban Bayis Rishain, the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Asara Harugei Malchus, the martyrs of the Churban, even the individual stories of the death of Yoshio HaMelech, and the son and the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael. But now, in 29, we're moving to a new subject, but it's all connected. And Tisha B'Av is regarded not only as the day of mourning for the Churban Samikdash, but as the day of mourning collectively for all of the tsaros that have befallen Am Yisrael. In fact, one of the kinos actually says, Ein lahaysif, we're not supposed to add extra days of mourning. So people sometimes say, why don't we have a fast for the Holocaust? The devastating Churban of 6 million Jews. And the answer, Bekitzer, is we do have a fast for the Holocaust. It happens to be Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day of mourning because we recognize that when there is Hester Panim, when there is concealment of the divine, then tragedies happen. There is evil in the world. Until God's presence is clear and understood and accepted, there is going to be tragedy. And therefore, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which in itself was rooted in the lack of faith in Hashem's divine promise of Eretz Yisrael in the desert. Because remember, Tisha B'Av became the day of Churban. Because the Jewish people cried the whole night of the ninth of Av. That became the cornerstone of all tragedies. And Chavtes describes tragedies during the Crusades. The Crusade period is a very long time. It's the first Crusade was at 1096, and really over the next 200, 250 years, there were a number of Crusades. The Crusades were the attempt by the Christians to technically conquer portions of the land of Israel, and at various times they were successful. They didn't conquer it from us because we were not the rulers of Eretz Israel at the time, but they conquered it from the Muslims. And to this very day, you go to Tzfat, you go to Akko, even in Yerushalayim, you can see various remnants of the Crusader kingdoms. But the Crusaders didn't just conquer Eretz Israel, in which they were fighting against Muslims. On the way, they did a little bit of collateral damage, such as wiping out whole Jewish communities in France and Germany. To give an example, the Mordechai, one of the great, great poskim, was actually, he and his whole family were massacred in what were called the Rindfleisch massacres, really part of the Crusades in Germany. In fact, historians have pointed out that the school of the Balei HaTosvos were both in Germany and in France, except the vast majority of the writings that we have are from the Balei HaTosvos in France, not in Germany, precisely because most of the rabbis of Germany and most of the writings of Germany were destroyed in the Crusades. And this is going to be an actual account written by a survivor of a great, great massacre in some German communities. And what is very interesting halachically is that there's actually a discussion in which the persecutors went over to the people and said, convert to Christianity or you will die. And of course, all of us know the halacha, that if a person is put to that ultimate test, a person is obligated to give their lives. But there's an interesting question that there's some indicators, both in this kina and in other sources, that parents sometimes actually killed their children in order to prevent their children from converting. And halachically, that's an enormously controversial machlokas, because it's one thing to say, give your life, let yourself be killed. It's a totally other thing to say, you can kill somebody to prevent them from converting to Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, we can't deny it that although in the Rishayim, and again, you have to think about this, this is not an academic halachic discussion. This was Lamaisa, this was very, very practical, that there is an enormous machlokas whether this was permitted. There is no doubt that there were cases where this was done, because for the children to go to Avodah Zarah would be an ultimate tragedy, and Chazal say, in a way, that would be worse than death. But the fact that such measures had to be taken just reminds us of the bitterness of our Golus, the tragedies that we face, and that we connect every Chorban and every tragedy of Am Yisrael to the Chorban of Tisha B'Av. So this is going to be one. There are four or five piyutim that deal with the Crusades and the like. We're only going to do this one because this gives you a sense and a flavor of how Tisha B'Av also commemorates the other tragedies of Am Yisrael. Amarti shumeni b'chia morer mafshi. Just want to point out how the lines of the piyutim are so rich in association. Towards the end of the piyut we just read, or the kina we just read, tipe damai achas liachas menuyos. The drops of my blood, may they be counted one by one. Think about this. Do you remember the service of Yom Kippur? The Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood in various places, and he had to count it, right? One was an upward motion, seven downward, and we count it. Ka choya mona, achas, achas v'achas. What the Kina is saying is, may Hashem regard the blood of Am Yisrael that has been shed like the Yom Kippur offerings of blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just as that blood was counted, achas, achas, viachas, may you count every drop of blood, and may that be a kapara for Am Yisrael. In fact, it is brought down that normally, you know, when a person dies, we wash the body, we take off the clothes, and we put on tachrichim, we put on the white burial shrouds. But it says that if a person died, al kiddush Hashem, he was murdered because he was a Jew, he was murdered because he was keeping Hashem's will, you do not remove the bloody garments from his body. He is buried in those bloody garments because those bloody garments are a cry out to the Almighty to avenge his people and protect their honor. And it's a badge of honor that's not removed from a person. And that is the reference, may the drops of my blood be counted one by one, and may they be sprinkled on your garments. Again, the garments of Hashem refers to the paroches, the Kodesh of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Okay, our next one is 34, Lamed Dalet. And this is actually written by a very, very famous author. This is Rav Yehuda Halevi, who is, we know him as the author of the Kuzari, one of the great books of Jewish philosophy. He was also a great, great poet. He will have another piyut, which I'll talk more about when we get to. He also wrote the Zemer, Yom Shabbason, Ein Lishkoach. And here, too, He takes a story in the Gemara that Chazal recorded, and he has a piyut about it. And this story goes back to the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon. So you see, one thing you have to see in Kinos is that we're not that concerned here for chronology, because it's as if we take all of the tzaros, the whole gamut of the suffering of the Jewish people, and we combine it together, first Mikdash, second Mikdash, Crusades, Holocaust, individual tragedies. It's all part of one undifferentiated whole to bring us back to the Almighty. And this is a story that there was a Navi at the time of the Bayis Rishon, and his name was Zechariah, not to be confused with the famous Zechariah who has his own biblical book. This was a Zechariah who does not have a Sefer of Tanakh. Don't confuse the two. And Zechariah was a Navi that would give the Jewish people Musar, do tshuva, and even though you have a Beis HaMikdash and you're bringing Korbanos, but if you bring Korbanos and then live lives of evil, the Korban is hypocrisy, it doesn't count. Right? Hashem says, I don't want insincere Korbanos. A Korban is not a bribe, you pay off God, then do what you want. A Korban is about submission. And finally, people got tired of Zechariah day in, day out, giving him Musar. So they killed him in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash itself. They figured he was an annoyance, just get rid of him. But what happened was, somehow, they buried Zechariah, but somehow the blood stayed on the ground, and the blood was bubbling. And no matter what they did, they covered it up, they tried to clean it off. That blood just stayed there as a stain and a blot on the Jewish people. Nebuzaradan was Nebuchadnezzar's general. Nebuzaradan actually did the work of the Chorban, destroying the first temple. And Nebuzaradan sees this blood and he wonders, what is this blood? So the people said, well, you know, this is leftover korbanos, the blood is bubbling, etc. So he slaughtered many, many animals and, you know, the blood wasn't boiling. And then finally they told him that, well, he was a Navi and we killed the Navi, etc. So Nebuzaradan started slaughtering. He says, I will get that blood to be appeased. And he slaughtered thousands and thousands and thousands of children. And the blood was still not appeased until finally the statement was made, do you want all of the Jewish people to be wiped out? And this reminds us, this is a story, the blood of Zechariah. Because the Pasuk says, this is what Yirmiyahu means in Eicha, when he wrote, Im yihareg b'mikdash Hashem kayein v'navi. How could it be that in the temple of Hashem, a kohen, because Zechariah was also okay, a kohen and a navi get killed? And even though you might have thought that's referring to what the goyim did, Chazal say no, he's not referring to the goyim, he's referring to the killing of Zechariah. And the reason why this is a relevant lesson to us is that unfortunately, we can kill a Navi in more than one way. We can kill a Navi or a Chacham by physically killing. Baruch Hashem, most of us don't do that, I hope. But we can kill the Chacham by ignoring him, by not listening, by not paying attention, by making his words irrelevant to our lives. And this Kina reminds us of how devastating it is when we kill the words of the Navi and the words of the Chacham that could help us and help us grow and help us do tshuva. And when we shut our minds and our hearts and our ears to that message, that is a form of killing the person because his words are no longer making a rosham. So this is from Avyuda Halevi. Yaim ach b'yich baratim ach b'lo abayne. Just want to add that the Gemara in Gittin gives us a postscript to the story that does not appear in the Kina. And that is, Nebuzaradan then made a kal v'chomer. He said, if for the killing of one Navi, so many people had to suffer, I, who am killing so many people, how much punishment will Hashem exact from me? And the Gemara records that Nebuzaradan became a ger. He ran away from Nebuchadnezzar's army. He embraced the Torah, and indeed there were Talmidei Chachamim that were descended from the Nebuzaradan as a result of this experience.